So you can guess what the subject is today. Families. Jesus is Lord in the home and work relationships. That's our family. I think it was taken about 4 years ago. So apologies for anybody if you don't like the picture that's been taken, but the picture never lies. Photo or camera never lies, they say. And I want to say that at the outset, it's nice to see a family here this morning. Mum, dad, son and daughter, and daughter-in-law. And to honour you for the way the Lord has blessed you. I know you'll say it's all of grace, but the way the Lord has blessed you and helped you to bring your children up. And I just want to honour you in that. As we look at the subject of families, we're living, aren't we? I don't have to tell you this because you know it. We're living in tough times for families. When the family values are being challenged and marriage is being challenged in the nation in which we live. So it's tough times. We want to see what God's got to say on the subject of family relationships. And again, I want to give credit where it's due. Dave and John, thank you for helping me put this together. I guess I helped you put it together. Thank you very much. And our subject today is Jesus is Lord in the family or in the home and work relationships. Is it working? Oh, it is. Has that been going on? Click, click. Because I was clicking down here, but thought that would be all right. I know, but it's clicked on and I didn't want it to. So my first one, can you get me right back? That's gone on quite a few, isn't it? I thought if I clicked it down here, it would not connect up. But I've got a lot to learn, haven't I? Bear with me. But while Dave's just putting me right there, to communicate to my family, wherever they've gone to, I can do it by phone. I can do it by mobile, text, email, and good old Royal Mail. But if you read the papers this week, there's a chance that Royal Mail is going to be hyphened off, and they're frying, and it's going to cost even a lot more, and it won't be to our villages, etc. So there's quite a lot of concern. But Paul didn't have those problems. There wasn't any mail. There were no mobiles, no phones, as we know. And to add to that, he was in prison in Rome. But he could have visitors. And one of his visitors was a chap called Tychicus, who was a loyal friend and one he could trust to take his messages for him. But he also had other visitors, a chap called Epaphras, who had helped plant the church in Colossae, as we will remember, those of us who've been coming every week and hearing the story about it. And he'd gone to Rome to share his concerns with Paul and ask Paul's advice and prayer for Colossae. Also there, a visitor, was a chap called Onesimus. He was a runaway slave. And he'd been converted. And that had changed his whole attitude and heart and everything. And he'd met with Paul in prison, and he was sharing his desire to get back to his master. Only one problem. If you're a runaway slave, you can be executed. And so he was asking for Paul's help and advice. And so Paul decided he would write some letters. And he was going to write three letters. The first one was to answer some of the concerns that Epaphras had for the church at Colossae. And so he was going to write on the subjects that have been of concern to the church at Colossae. At the same time, he was going to write one to Philemon, because the church at Colossae met in Philemon's house. And so you're going to write a letter to him at that time to say, hey, would you take back Onesimus? Because now he's come to know the Lord, and I'm sure he's going to be a good servant for you. And thirdly, he's writing to the church at Ephesus, because Tychicus, to get to Colossae, would have to travel up and go to Ephesus, because Colossae was another 100 miles to the east of Ephesus. So he was doing three in one. And of course, having written to Colossae, when he mentioned those subjects again to the Ephesians, he expounded somewhat on the subjects that we're going to think about. So I will refer to what he wrote to the Ephesians as well as to what he wrote about the subject in the letter to Colossae. Thinking on the theme to Colossians reminded me of a chap in my church called Dave Mansell. And Dave Mansell wrote a chorus. He is Lord, He is Lord. Heard that one? At the time it went around the world, it was quite popular. But that is the theme of Colossians. He is Lord. Amen? Well, I'm with you. With me so far? Amen. He is Lord. And we've looked at subjects under this theme, haven't we? I'm not going to mention them all, but some of them are these. Where are we? Here we are. He is Lord of creation. He is Lord of the church as its head. He is the Lord of wisdom, of knowledge. And there were other subjects we mentioned. But last week, I believe, you looked at He is Lord of our new life. Is that correct? I wasn't here. Do I get a nod there? I do. Good. So these are some of the subject matters that we've been looking at in Colossians. Today we're looking, as I've said, we're looking at the family. Jesus is Lord in the home. That's the family. And in our work, relationships. Let's read Colossians 3:18 to 4:1 in the ESV. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Slaves, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he's done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your slaves justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Paul, having discussed the spiritual principles, now comes to specific relationships of the home and work. The subjects are also covered by Paul, as we said, in Ephesians, but also in Titus, 1 Timothy, and 1 Peter. So, husbands and wives. This teaching must be approached against the background of the then Jewish and pagan ethics of the day. In neither were women granted any rights. Paul's injunction, therefore, is not for wives to submit, but for the submission to be fitting in the Lord. A word not only to the wives, but to the husbands. Men, on the other hand, should love their wives. I'm not sure that I'm the only husband who has had Ephesians 5:25 quoted to him. If you love me as Christ loves the church and gave himself for it, I might find it easier to submit. Any other men heard those words? Don't be frightened, sure. The challenge we face is to submit and to love each other like Jesus. That is our desire for each other. And it's his desire for us as witnesses to a desperate and needy world. In August, on the 31st, Jean and I celebrate 50 years married in covenant love. It's had its highs, it's had its lows, but our covenant keeping God has carried us through the years. And I'm not one for saying this often, but I want to thank God for my wonderful wife. Really mean that. And for our children and their spouses, and 9 lovely grandchildren. And I give God all the glory. The 5 love languages. We are still learning mutual love and submission like Jesus. In addition to prayer and the Bible, several books have helped us down the years, one of which is this one, The 5 Love Languages by Larry Chapman. Jean wished it had been published before 1992. She also wishes that I'd read it then. It wasn't until we did the marriage course that burst. There we are. But what about this? The 5 Love Languages by Larry. Get it right. Words of affirmation. Quality time. receiving gifts, acts of service, physical touch. These five are the five languages of love. And it's usual for each of us to major on two of them. So you look at those and don't tell me, but what's number one in your love languages? And number two. The chances are they won't be the same as your husband or the same as your wife. So you have to learn which are the love languages. So for instance, I can tell my wife, that I love her until I'm blue in the face. But if I would only put up those two shelves, it took 2 years praying to the Holy Spirit in the end. She gave up talking to me and just prayed. And guess what? After she prayed, I put the shelves up. I'm a slow learner. But you see, we got to learn which are the love languages for our wife or husband if we're going to want to communicate that which we want to communicate, that's love. Hey folks, but it's not only between husband and wife, is it? Our children have love languages. We need to know how to express love to our children, and our children need to know how to express love to us. Amen? Amen. The five love languages. Well, as I said, they are mentioned in the marriage course, and that's where this is the book that's of the HTB marriage course. And when we first came here, Nigel Lloyd, who was then leading the church, said, "Chef, will you put that up?" And he did a freeline whip to his leadership team, and we did the marriage course together. And in that, it mentions the five love languages. And what did I want to say on that? The encouraging thing is, it has resulted in people getting married during the course. I think everybody was encouraged one way or another. We even rejoiced in a baby as a result. It's a good course. It comes out of Holy Trinity Brompton, HTB so-called. One testimony was given here by Matt. He shared how he came to us for prayer, because he is separated from his young wife, Nicola. And he shared this in the front, that's why I'm sharing it. And he came to us for prayer, and at that point in time, he did not want to get back. He thought it was over, that was it. He didn't want to get back with Nicola. But as we prayed with him and sought God's help, he just recognized he wanted to get back with his loved one. And we invited them to take the marriage course with us, just the two of them, which we did. The rest is history. As you know, Matt and Nicola are now happily back together again and rejoicing in each other. And we give God the glory for that. Now, I'm sure the elders will be only too happy to put on the marriage course again, to encourage you if you need it, to be encouraged in your marriage. You don't have to have a bad marriage to go on the marriage course, but it can help. And if you think that's worthwhile, have a word with Charles and Wendy, or with Dave and Jenny, I'm sure they'd be only too happy to recommend it to you. And the elders will try and find a slot sometime to have the marriage course, to enhance our marriages, the marriage course, the five love languages. And there's another one out which I've got to go through. I'm told I've got to read it with my wife. And it's called Love After Marriage. But don't neglect the Bible in all of this. But these are books that one recommends. Back to the children. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. This is expanded in Ephesians 6, 1-3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. If you honor your parents, it's a way to get a long life. I was 13 going on 14. And I'm sorry, but I did not honor my parents. But I'm pleased to say that both God and my parents have forgiven me. And they've forgiven me. And it wasn't hard to honor them because they loved me and they loved Jesus. Fathers in relation to the children. Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. We don't want to discourage our kids. Times I've had to say sorry. It's a good word, isn't it? Sorry. To my children. And ask their forgiveness. In Ephesians 6:4, Paul says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Some don'ts. Okay, I'm just coming. But you don't. Discouragement. You're no good. You don't get anything right. Most helpful. I don't care. Go. You can do whatever you like. Some don'ts. Some do's. Okay, I'm coming. And you do. I've got the time to tell you the times I didn't go. Let my family down. I've heard that you now have told the story. And I had to call the family together and say, sorry, will you please forgive me? I don't know that I was any better, but I must have done something right with God's help. Because as you know, my son said to me, Gene, who do you have as your best man? She said, your best friend. Dad, would you be my best man? And that was after saying to him too often, I come and I didn't. And letting him down. God in his goodness restored the love and the relationship between me and my son and my family. God is good. Even when we get it wrong, you know. God is good if we turn to him and seek him. Okay, I'm coming, and you do. Exclaim is say, well done. That's great. And mean it. Or There's a time when you as dad, you need to say, you know I care. So I advise you to think and pray about this first. Instead of saying, no, you just go off, I don't care, do what you like. No. No, I care for you. I advise you to think and pray about it. Some do's, some don'ts. Husband and wives. You know, we owe so much to mothers in the nurture of our children. But the responsibility is on the shoulders of us fathers for the discipline, I like the word I put in, discipling, of our children. To love them is to set appropriate boundaries for them. Dads should have daily prayer, family prayer and Bible reading. Because a family that prays together stays together. You'll have to decide what's best time for you, but for us, a particular time in our family growing up, it was breakfast time. It was early. I forget what it was. It was 7 o'clock or 7:15. But that was an appropriate time. And we together just read a short scripture together and we prayed over the issues of the family together. And we saw answers to prayer together. The family that prays together stays together. My son happened to phone me as I was preparing. So I said, Phil, while you're on the phone, could I just check that it's true? He said, what's that? Well, it was true, he said, yes. When his first son was a youngster, Philip was working in London in the print. And work would keep him there till 3 a.m. But he would come home, he would get a train back from London to home. So he got home to read and pray with his son and tuck him up in bed. And then he would go back to London and put the print to bed in the early hours of the morning. The family that prays together stays together. You've got to work it out, but I recommend it. It's a good practice. And of course there are other ways which we as dads can care for our children. Boundaries. Set appropriate boundaries. You know, we did hear some time back, and Alison was an excellent teacher, I recall. And one of the things in what's it called? Positive parenting, I think it was. And by the way, we were asked to do it in the school with Mr. Sutton. And we went up there and we stoked all the parents, and there were about 83 parents said they were interested, and we were going to have the positive parenting there, and we did. And 3 lots of parents turned up. It's a challenge, but we've got to set boundaries, folks, for our children. And one of the pictures they have is of a sheep in a pen, and it's just right round them, you know. I couldn't find the book, so I couldn't put up the illustrations. And it's ridiculous boundaries, absolutely ridiculous. You could imagine the sheep. Then there was another one with like a field for the sheep, which was perfect. And then there was another one where you couldn't see the boundary, and the sheep could wander off into the wilderness. Now, I know, please hear what I'm saying. I know children aren't dogs, right? But when I was learning about law and grace from the book of Romans, somebody shared with me about how that they came from living in the country to living in the town, and they got a lovely little puppy. Now, to let the puppy out in the road would have been disaster for the puppy. So initially, they had the puppy on a leash and teaching it to sit, walk, you know, stop, look left, look right, or whatever, you know. But there came a time when they could take it off the leash and it would just walk along safely, because its master, its parent, has set boundaries and taught it, discipled it. Folks, that's what we've got to do as parents, isn't it, with our children, so that they learn boundaries for our sakes and for theirs. Dads, what a responsibility we've got. How we need the enabling of the Holy Spirit, don't we? And prayer for one another. Relationships at work. The employee. Fortunately today, in the West anyway, it's not slaves, is it? Might feel like it sometimes. No. It's not, is it? It's not. It's employee and employer. The employee. To work as unto the Lord and not just when the boss is looking. Amen? Men and women of integrity. That's us as Christians. We're integrity. With time. With materials. With our speech. And our behavior towards our fellow employees and the boss. I know when I worked in the civil service, on the odd occasion, I was late. But I noticed every time I was late, two or three times a year maybe, I held my hand up. I noticed it was after I was late, the boss would send a notice around saying, I've noticed lately that people are being late. And there were some people who were late every day, but it didn't matter. But he knew I was a Christian. And he set standards by me. Folks, people are watching you at work because you're a Christian. So, Lord help us, as men and women of integrity, to be working as unto the Lord. He is Lord. The employers, they too should act justly and fairly. I've got a friend called Margie who is in South Africa, and she has recently employed a man to be a general, not quite the word to use it, dog's body, but you know what I mean. He's the gardener and he does the odd jobs around the house. Now, it just so happened while he was working away, his previous employer came by and came up to Margie and said, Margie, you're underemploying this guy. He's got skills you're not using. So Margie said, I know, but he's earning three times the wage you paid him. And he's also got a Medicare, which you never gave him. Now, Margie is quite a shrewd businesswoman. She won't be paying you over the odds, but she's just. She cares for her workforce. And she loves the Lord Jesus and wants to be act justly and fairly. You won't be surprised when I tell you that yet again she's been put forward as business person for the year in South Africa. The challenge is to us. Some quotable quotes before I conclude. J.B. Phillips' rendering of Romans 12:2 says this, don't let the world press you into its mold. Rick Warren says, what you value is what you do. And what you do is what you value. I don't know if this is a quotable quote because it's mine, but church, our children are watching. The world is watching. And praise God, he's watching too. And he's enabling us to live our life, our relationships, by the indwelling Holy Spirit. Perhaps I'll leave that up as I just make some comments. Paul hasn't addressed in his letter Christian couples, or he has addressed Christian couples and their children, but he hasn't addressed the issue of Christians married to a non-Christian. He does this in 1 Corinthians 7:13 to 16. Encourage them where possible to stay married, saying that the unbelieving one is sanctified by the Christian, so making the children holy. He encouraged them to believe for the salvation of their partner. But it's tough. Hold in there. We haven't looked at the issue of the single parent with the added pressure that that brings. How we need to pray for them and support them. We haven't talked about the widow or widower. There are so many issues around home and family and relations we haven't talked about this morning. But we do pray for one another. There are parents, no doubt here, who've done everything that they feel they could, according to the word, with their children, and they've loved them. And they've grown up and sadly just gone away from Jesus. What would I say to you? Hold on. Remember the story of the prodigal son. Keep praying. Keep believing. I've run out of time because I want us to pray together, but you know the challenge is we're living in a world that, you know, I like Melanie Phillips. I don't know about you, but Melanie Phillips, she's a Jew. And she has values that we believe in and hold on to. And she says, what kind of society treats smacking as a war crime while teaching children how to watch porn? I could read it. I won't read it all. But you probably realize that Duncan Smith, the Works and Parents Pension Secretary, has said that the family breakdown is costing the nation up to a staggering $100 billion a year, and that children raised in single-parent households are 9 times more likely to begin a life of crime than those that were raised by both parents. In the United Kingdom, the highest teenage pregnancy, abortion, and sexually transmitted diseases in the whole of Europe. Teenagers account for a quarter of all abortions. There are 3 girls who've had 8 abortions in the figures that they've got. There's another 2 that have had 7. There's 4 who've had 6. There's 14 who've had 5 abortions. There's 57 who've had 4. There's 485 went through the procedure for the 3rd time. Girls as young as 13 are fitted with contraceptive implants at schools without their parents knowing. It has been suggested that both boys and girls are given injections to avoid throat cancer schools through having oral sex. And sadly in our nation, children are now sexually abusing and raping each other. That's just some of the statistics. So what a challenge to us Christians to live out the family values. But we can. Because God wouldn't recommend it otherwise. We can. And we've got a nation out there that's just wanting help. Do we have the answer in Jesus? Yes. Amen? Yes. Amen. Amen. I want us to pray for each other now. We're all praying. We need to pray for one another. We need to we probably know each other's needs. But let's just pray that God would help us. And if there are any, if this morning as I've been preaching, and you know there's been some heartstrings that have been touched, and you need more prayer for the Lord to enable you and comfort you in certain areas, please ask for that. Because he did it for Matt in his relationship with Nicola. God is at work. He's the one who we're looking to. It's his glory and for our good. Amen? Let's just stand and pray for one another. We need prayer, don't we? And just pray for one another over these issues that we've just been talking about. Ask God to bless you. Ask God to help you. Ask God to help you to submit to your husband. Ask God to help you to love your wife as Jesus loved the church. If we're all children, let's ask him to help us to honor our parents. Amen? Let's get together and pray.